Word of the Lord, Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. Looking forward to a great Thanksgiving week. We've got a few that are already celebrating Thanksgiving, and a few that are not here today. Miss and Sister McCoy and some of my girls, they're already celebrating Thanksgiving. They're so thankful that they had to go to Texas and get a head start. And so I know that they're down there, but we're here, and I feel the presence of the Lord. I feel like He wants to do something great, and I tell you, it's a nightmare, I guess, of a pastor or a preacher that he would know that God would want to do something, but yet we would miss it, or that we wouldn't tap into it, or that we wouldn't do the job that we're supposed to do. And so I'm going to do the best that I can today, and if you do the best you can, I believe God will just make up the difference, and that He'd touch our lives today. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. They said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one. They have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth." And then one more verse of Scripture, going all the way from Genesis to Revelation, the first book to the last book. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6, John said, "And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Today I'm preaching to us the language of the church, the language of the church. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated today. Have you ever stopped to think about what's in a language? A language is much more than sentences and words and punctuation. A language holds within it a wealth of knowledge and foundation of those who speak it. There are an estimated 7,000 languages currently spoken around the world. And each one of those languages, they contain the secrets of each respective culture and society. What has been found is that many times, if a language is lost, the culture follows not far behind. He was a German explorer touring the Orinoco and Amazon rivers and documenting the languages and the cultures of the tribes he encountered there. In 1799, Alexander von Humboldt spent some time with one tribe of people in what is now Venezuela. While visiting and studying them, he heard some, they were pets. Specifically, they were parrots. And these parrots were speaking in a strange language. And so he inquired as to what they were saying. It was explained to him that no one knew what these parrots were speaking because they had been the pets of a neighboring tribe. And this neighboring tribe, the Maypure people, had all been killed recently by another tribe. And so these parrots were the only living speakers of the Maypure language. They were, in fact, the sole evidence of the entire extinct tribe's former existence because everything else had been destroyed. Out of the estimated 7,000 languages currently spoken around the world, many are in fact disappearing. Linguists or those who study languages have predicted that by the year 2100, 90% of all the world's languages will have ceased to exist. And while the death of a language may not seem that serious to us here today, in fact, it is a terrible tragedy because within a language is a wealth of various cultural experiences. When a language is lost, our world loses the knowledge that's contained in those language, when those words and the grammar and it's knowledge that can never be recovered. The way a culture expresses themselves, their humor, their love, their life. For those who study languages, they're not simply just a collection of words, but they're a living, breathing organism holding the connections that define a culture. A language is the DNA, if you will, of the culture. And so when a language becomes extinct, so does the DNA or the life of the culture in which it was spoken. Now think about this with me here today. As our world's culture is moving radically further and further away from righteousness, there is a great danger that we in the church would be swept along with culture until we forget where we've come from. And then the language goes next, followed by the values and the traditions that the apostolic church has held to for so long. You see, if we're not careful, the language, the values, the traditions, the culture of the apostolic church can be so assimilated into modern day culture and religion that what our elders knew could become extinct. In the midst of a culture that is swiftly moving along away from the things of God, we are in danger if we do not protect the language of the apostolic church. We're in danger of just being assimilated into society. Hey, I'm all about for updates, and I'm all about for new methods and new ways to reach the lost and new technology and all of that. But we've got to be sure we protect the language. We've got to be sure we protect the culture. We've got to be sure that we protect what we have stood for so long. Because if we're not careful, we can just mix in with society, and then one church is the same as the next. No, I want to be the apostolic church. I want to protect what God has given us. I want to be on fire with the power of the Holy Ghost. You know what? I don't care what other churches say. Speaking in tongues is more than just an added blessing. It's more than just something that feels good to do every once in a while. Oh, hear me today. When we speak with tongues, it identifies us back with Peter and with John and with Mary and the apostles on the day of Pentecost. It's the same thing the Apostle Paul did. Tongues are more than just an added blessing. It's more than just something we leave or take. Speaking in tongues identifies us with the first church. I don't know about you, but that's exciting to think that what we teach and what we believe and what we practice, it goes all the way back to what the first church did in the New Testament. It goes all the way back to the book of Acts. Amen. And we still practice it today. We still speak the same language. We still practice the same thing. We must not lose the language of the first church. We must not lose the culture of the first church. No matter what the cost, we must not let anyone steal away the identity of the first church. Former President Ronald Reagan once said, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction." He went on to say that freedom must be fought for. It must be protected. It must be handed on. Or one day we'll be telling our children and our grandchildren what it was once like in the United States where men were once free. Not only is that true in our nation and in our world today, it's true in the church. It's true in the church. This truth, this gospel, this Pentecostal heritage, it's just one generation away from extinction. All it would take is one generation to not pick up the torch of truth, for just one generation to compromise, for just one generation to stop holding up doctrine, for one generation to stop holding up truth, and then that would be it. But I tell you, this truth must be fought for. This doctrine of the apostles, it must be protected. It must be handed on from one generation down to another, or else one day we'll be telling our children and our grandchildren, oh, I remember back one day when the apostolic church was still alive. I remember one day when we were a Pentecostal church. I remember when we used to speak with tongues. We used to baptize in the name of Jesus. We used to dance in the Holy Ghost. We used to worship in the Spirit. Don't let it be that we have to say it used to be like that, but no, I want it to be today. I still dance in the Spirit. I still baptize in the name of Jesus. I still preach that you've got to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Come on, we need a fire inside of us. We've got to have it today. What a terrifying thing to think that just one generation can mess things up. We have to preserve this precious apostolic truth at all costs. Just yesterday, someone I'm connected to on Facebook posted a family picture, and I really don't know for sure how I'm connected to them. And Sister McCoy and I have this happen quite a bit now. We'll see someone that post a picture, and we're like, how do we know them? And you go back, and you look at their pictures, and here's 2020, and they look like they look now. They're far from God. 2019, 2018, 2017, 16, and all of a sudden you start seeing a change. And back in 2014, back in 2010, when we were working with the Texas District Youth, they were a young person in a church somewhere. But now they've lost what they once had. And it's such a tragic thing, but this particular person, I guess that's how I was connected. They must have been one of the young people that used to come to youth camps, but now they've grown older and now they have children of their own, and they shared this family picture, and there they were with their children, and I suppose it was their parents who were there, but it was so disheartening to see that from their dress and from their lifestyle and just the things that were in the picture, it was apparent that somewhere along the way they had not held to truth. And it was so tragic to see that there, in addition to this person's parents and in addition to their kids, there was a little old apostolic woman. And I don't mean any disrespect, but you know what I'm talking about. Presumably the grandmother with her children and her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren. And she was the only one in the picture that had held to apostolic truth. She was the only one that was there that had held to holiness and to separation from the world. I want to tell you, she looked so out of place in that family. What a tragedy it is. She looked so out of place. No one else had carried on what she believed. They had sold out somewhere along the way. They had given up what they had been raised in favor of another gospel, one without holiness and one without separation from the world and without consecration and dedication to God. Oh, how heartbreaking to see. But here's the fact. If you meet just about any person on the street, they have a relative somewhere who used to be apostolic. They have a great-grandmother. They have a grandmother. They have a cousin. They have an uncle. They have an aunt. Because just about everybody has some connection with this apostolic truth. And how tragic it is that years later, now they have left separation. They've left holiness. They've left the doctrine of the apostles, and now they're just mixed in and assimilated with the world. Oh, I tell you today, let that not be of us. Let that not be of our children. Let that not be of our grandchildren. But we've got to preach this truth. We've got to hold to the doctrine. We've got to hold to holiness and separation from the world. This is the doctrine of the apostles, and it's the only saving truth, the truth of Jesus Christ. Oh, how tragic to say, oh yeah, we used to talk in tongues. We used to dance. We used to have prayer meetings where there was no doubt that God heard our prayers. Oh, we used to see lives changed and people delivered. We used to have miracles and signs and wonders. Somebody hear me today. If we don't defend this truth, if we don't stand for righteousness, it could be just one generation away. Young people, I want you to hear. I want you to hear Pastor today. If you have godly parents, if you have godly parents who believe this doctrine, you need to thank God for that. You need to thank God for that. You need to cherish them. You need to cherish their stand for truth. You need to thank God for parents who stand up for what's right. If your parents today are not in the church, then you need to determine, I'm going to start a new bloodline. I'm going to start a new bloodline. It's going to be one from the blood of Jesus Christ. It's going to be a new family trajectory. It's going to be a new legacy. I can't control everything that happened before me, but as for me and my house, and from this day forward, I'm going to live for God. Come on, we need to thank God for truth. We need to thank God for a church that believes truth, a church that preaches the doctrine. There needs to be a thankfulness. There needs to be a love in our heart for the salvation that He's given us. We must not take that lightly. Buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. This truth is too priceless for us to allow it to become extinct. But we've got to keep our apostolic culture steadfast in the face of a world that's drifting in sin. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And they gathered there in the land of Shinar, and they made up their mind that they were going to build a city, a tower that would reach to heaven. They said, we're going to make a name for ourselves so that we're not just scattered abroad all over the earth. And the Lord looked at it. He looked at what they were doing. We read today Genesis 11:6, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they all have one language. And this they begin to do, and nothing will be restrained from them which they've imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. All it took was getting their language off. And look what happened. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. There's power in what we say. There's power in the tongue. They were of one language. They were together in unity. They were all together. God said nothing would be restrained from them. Nothing that they propose will be too hard for them. But all it took was a little confusing of their language. All it took was a little just language difference. And now they couldn't build the city, and they were scattered abroad upon the whole earth. That's why the enemy loves to sow division in the church. That's why he's always trying to create discord and disunity, because he knows he's no match for God's power. He knows that he can't stop God's church. He can't stop the power of the Holy Ghost. If we've been filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have more power than he has. Amen. And the enemy knows that. But if he can come in and sow discord, if he can get us out of sync with one another, if he can cause division, then he can stop the power of God's church.
The enemy would love nothing better than for the church to be divided, to get us our attention off the calling that God has given us. But we must not fall for that. We must not get into that trap. There's power in unity. There's power when we speak the same language. There's power in a unified church. Hallelujah. That's why every once in a while you'll see a little something will happen. Our church is no different than any other churches. There'll be a little something happen and somebody will get their feelings hurt and they'll, instead of praying about it, they'll start talking. Well, did you know what Sister So-and-so said? Did you see the way they, did you hear what Pastor preached? He was preaching right to me. Maybe I was, but it was the Lord. Amen. And sometimes something happens in every single one of us. If we're looking for an opportunity to get defended, we're going to find it. But we've got to make up our mind. I don't care what you do to me. I'm living for the Lord. I'm not living for them. I'm living for Him. Don't you think the pastor every once in a while could get offended if he wanted to? There's people that misunderstand the pastor. There's people that talk about the pastor. There's people that criticize the pastor. But I'm not preaching for them. I'm preaching for you, and I'm preaching for souls that need the gospel. And it's too important for me to get offended and throw in the towel. I've got to get right back up and say, you know what? We've got a work to do. We've got a calling to do. I've got to keep preaching truth so we don't lose this precious gospel, so that we can carry on. Prophet Zephaniah lived just before the captivity, and he foretold the coming destruction of Judah and Jerusalem because of their sinfulness. He called them to repentance. He also gave them some encouragement that there would be a future after the captivity. That in time, he said, there would be mercy and grace. And God would cleanse them from sin, and He would bring out a glorious work of salvation through the Redeemer who was to come. Listen what He prophesied in Zephaniah 3:8. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. And verse 9 says, for then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve Him with one consent. In the verses just before this, things didn't look too good. Jerusalem had fallen into deep sin, and they had refused to repent. They were rejected by God, and things had just kept growing worse and worse and worse. But here we see a change is coming. And something was going to bring the grace of God, and something would turn the people to a pure language, and God was going to restore them to a pure speech, that they would all call upon the name of the Lord to serve Him together in unity with a single purpose. Isn't it something how when God starts working, He changes the language? Come on, does anybody remember today? How many of you can attest to the fact that when God started working in your life, when you were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, things you used to say, it just didn't feel right anymore. Words you used to use, they just didn't fit anymore. Maybe you struggled with curse words, with profanity, but something changed in the inside of you, and He purified your speech. He changed your language. Oh, you were a people of unclean lips, but here's a promise from God. He is going to give you a pure language. And in the midst of all the language we're hearing in our world today, not only profanity, but discord and division and destruction and hate and anger and backbiting and perverseness and lies and all of that and more, all of this language in our world. But in the midst of that, I believe that God wants to bring the church to the forefront. He wants to bring a people to the front that have a pure language. People who have been called out. They have been delivered from sin. We've been changed by the power of God. We've been transformed, and we're no longer what we used to be. We're no longer the same. We don't talk like we used to talk. We don't say the things we used to say, but now our speech and our language, it's full of things that glorify God. That's what God wants to bring to the forefront. And I believe in the last days there's going to be a people who will magnify God, who will tell of his goodness far and wide. They'll bring glad tidings of joy to a world that's desperately lost. But the church is going to declare the good news. The church is going to declare the truth. The church is going to declare this gospel, and the truth is going to make people free. We read in Acts chapter 2 of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the upper room. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Reading on in verse 5, it says, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Let me tell you what had happened. Oh, that day at the Tower of Babel, God had said, enough of this. I'm going to divide them. I'm going to scatter them. I'm going to give them these languages. And they were scattered off abroad all over the earth. But on the day of Pentecost, it was God who had given those languages. And he said, you know what? I'm going to use this for my benefit today. And all these people who are scattered all across the earth, they've come together in Jerusalem, and I'm going to give them a pure language. I'm going to give them a message from heaven that's going to speak truth, that's going to glorify me, that's going to bring them together. And so he began to speak through those people in all those languages, bringing them together in unity, in one mind, in one accord, and the power of the Holy Ghost fell in that place. And you look around here today, we've got all kinds of people. We got people from Texas. We got people from Scotland. We got people from Kansas City. We got people from every place on the earth. And how can we come together in unity? How can we get in one mind? How can we be in one accord? How can we do the work that God has called us to do? Let me tell you, it's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the power of the Spirit of God. We've got to have something that brings us together in a purity of thought, a purity of mind. I don't know about you, but I've got to be on fire with the Holy Ghost. We can't do it alone. We can't do it in our own strength. But if we can be full of his Spirit, they were all from different places. They spoke different languages. But when the Holy Ghost fell and the 120 began to speak with other tongues, and it began to spill out into the street, and all these people began to hear it, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and all the others were drawn together. I want to tell you, when the Holy Ghost falls, it ministers to all of us. It brings us together. It brings every background, every person, every race, every color. Oh, I tell you, that's why we can go to a conference somewhere and we meet other people from another state, or a camp meeting, and we see people from somewhere we've never met them before, but we feel like we're together in unity. It's because the Holy Ghost brings us together. That's our brother. That's our sister. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, when you go to the mall and you see another person from church, you better not ignore them. That's your family. Come on, we're family. We're family. We've been bought with the same blood. We're blood brothers. We're blood sisters. Come on. We're together in this. What would happen in Springfield? What would happen in Southwest Missouri if the power of the Holy Ghost could have fallen across this entire city and could bring this city together? Nothing else is going to bring it together. There's no politician. There's no social doctrine. There is nothing else that is going to bring this city and this area together. But you just let people start getting the Holy Ghost. And you take rich and poor and young and old and black and white and Hispanic and Asian and every person. Oh, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost could draw our city together in unity. And God will add to the church. He will add to the church just like he did on the day of Pentecost. It's got to start with someone. It's got to start with someone. Is there anybody here today? You say, let it start with me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Let it fill me. Let it transform me. Let it call me out of darkness. Oh, I'm gonna let it start with me. Shatabahaya, would you stand with me today? Oh, come on. Somebody's got to be willing to let God fill you to overflowing, more than just you, more than just what you contain, but let it fill me to overflowing. So when I walk by somebody, what I have, it spills out onto them, and they can feel the anointing, and they can feel the fire of the Holy Ghost. Oh, when you go to work, don't let it be that you just have enough Holy Ghost for you. But let it be that there's so much. You're so full of the Spirit. You're so full of the fire of the Holy Ghost. When you get close to a hot stove, you can feel it. Sometimes I'll cook something and I forget to turn the stove off, and later on I'll walk by that stove. Ooh, something's hot. When you're full of the Holy Ghost and fire, people can feel that. They notice that. They recognize that something's going on there. How many would just say, Lord, let it start with me. Set me on fire with the power of the Holy Ghost. Let me burn with this truth. Let me burn with a passion, oh God. I want you to change my language. Give me a pure language. I'm going to stop speaking doubt and fear and unbelief, and I'm going to start speaking faith and victory. I'm not going to sow things of division and discord, but I'm going to speak unity. Come on, I'm not going to listen to things that are meant to divide, but I'm going to focus on declaring the word of truth. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to have a pure language. I want to have a pure speech. God is calling people from all over the world to speak the same language, from all different cultures, from every race, from every color, from every walk of life, every age, every person. He's calling us together in unity to speak the language of the church, the language of unity, a language of victory, a language of hope for all the world. How do we get to speak in the same language? It must be by the Holy Ghost. It must be by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Something happens when we get in the Spirit. Something happens. How sad it is that there's many people even in the church that they never experienced this. They never experienced the power of God so much so that they get lost in the Spirit. They came to the place of prayer and they were thinking about everything going on in life. I don't know how I'm going to deal with that situation. I don't know how I'm going to pay that bill. And oh, that person's driving me crazy. And it's life. And all those things cloud our mind. We come to the place of prayer and we're praying, and all we can think about is all the stuff going on. push past that. You have to get to a place that all that stuff you laid on the altar, say, God, I don't know what to do, but I know you're going to do something. And you're going to help me. And you keep praying past that. And you ask God to forgive you of your sins, and you ask God to cleanse you from the inside out. And Lord, touch my mind. And Lord, not my will, but thine will be done. And you pray through that into a place where the Holy Ghost starts taking over. And you're not speaking English anymore. You're not speaking Spanish. You're not speaking German. You're not speaking anything like that. You're speaking a heavenly language. And you get lost in the Spirit. See, my heart is burdened today because I look around and I wonder how many of us are experiencing that weekly. I understand, maybe not daily. Sometimes things happen and we get busy, but every week we need to have a time that we get lost in the Spirit. If we're not living according to the Spirit, if we're not strengthened by the Spirit, then how are we making it? How are we living? How are we coping? How are we going through life? We're going in our own strength. We're going in our own wisdom. But we need the fire of the Holy Ghost. We need a revival of the Holy Spirit. We need a fresh, hot touch of God's Spirit to be full of His Spirit, to be full of the Holy Ghost and fire. I would that every person in this church would pray and would keep praying until you have a liberty to pray in tongues, to where it flows so naturally. You don't have to struggle with it. You don't have to push it through. It's just there. It ought to always be there. That's not me, but come on. Some people come to church and it's been years since they spoke in tongues. It's been years since they were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. That should not be. That should not be. You ought to be there every day. You ought to be there every service. You ought to be there all the time because you're full of the Spirit of God. This season is crazy. You think it's hard on you, it's hard on a pastor. Because we're trying to have church and we're trying to see people saved and we're trying to see people get the Holy Ghost, trying to baptize people and figure all this out. Because we have a work to do. And I don't know what it is, but something about this season has got people bound spiritually. I don't know if it's the fear. I don't know if it's a combination of just all kinds of stuff. Wearing a mask in church. Hey, it's what we got to do for right now. I understand. Something about putting on that mask. Well, you can't tell if I'm smiling or if I'm frowning. You don't know if I'm singing or if I'm thinking about a football game. Pastor doesn't know if you're preaching with them or if you're saying, oh, come on, Pastor, I'm ready to go. There's something about the mask. And I understand we've got to wear it, but we've got to push past that. We've got to push past it. Get you a mask that fits. Get you one that doesn't fog up your eyes. Whatever you got to do. If you're preaching, you can take it off. There's a calling of God. There's a calling of God. Filled with the Spirit. But if they're not careful, they're going to lose the language of the church, the language of the Spirit. Now, the thing about this language. If we reject it, if we lose it, God will give it to someone else. God will give it to someone else. Peter went up on the housetop to pray. God said, don't you call common what I've cleansed. Don't you call unclean what I've cleansed. God sent an angel to the house of Cornelius. He said, I've heard your prayers and I'm going to send you. Go send for Peter. He's going to come and tell you what you should do. When Cornelius' men arrived, Peter had just seen this vision. So he returns with them to Cornelius' house and begins to preach to them about Jesus, and something happens. They didn't know about the Holy Ghost. They'd never experienced it. Nobody had told them about speaking in tongues. They hadn't read about it in the newspaper. There hadn't been social media posts about it. But Acts 10:44 declares, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard them. He didn't have a class, and he said, okay, now you say this string of words together and your tongue will get tied and you just keep on speaking that and it'll sound like you're speaking in tongues. He didn't do that. This was a new thing. Because up to this point, only the Jews had received it. But God was working. And reading in Acts 10:45, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? I'll tell you today, if we lose this, if we don't practice this, if we don't protect this, if we don't give this our passion and our life, then there'll be somewhere, someone else on the other side of the tracks. That they might not know anything about this. They might not have had a legacy of people in the church. They'll be reading their Bible one day and they'll see that and they'll think, well, maybe that could be for me. God, could that be for me? And God will fill them with the gift of His Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, I would love for that to happen all across town, but I tell you this, this church is not going to lose that experience. We're going to protect the language of the church. We're going to protect this language of the church. We're going to stay in unity. We're going to stay in one accord. We must not lose this. We're going to preach it. We're going to live it. We're going to practice it because this is the hope for all the world. It's the language of the church. And I would prophesy to you today that there is not room in this church for the many in this city who are going to receive this in the end times. It's going to go forth. It's going to be like a fire. It's going to reach to every house, to every neighborhood. It's going to touch every kind of person. I believe in the end times there's going to be people from the lowest walks of life to the highest walks of life. They're going to be brought to the same level because of the language they speak, because they're filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. But it, come on, I feel that in my spirit. But it's got to start with you. It's got to start with me, and it starts here right now, right here today. Is there anybody, you just throw up your hands right where you are and say, Lord, let it start with me. Lord, let my language be the language of the church. Let me be full with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let me be full of that fire, that passion, Lord. If it's growing cold, then I pray that you would stir something up in me. Oh, God, I've got to be on fire with the Holy Ghost. I've got to be saturated with it. I've got to be full.